Welcome to another episode of the Dadcast. I was so rudely interrupted once again as I was recording, so I don't want to make this sound corny, but one of my favorite people on the planet, one of my favorite friends, known since 7th grade, man. When do you turn 40?
Just turned 40, man.
Really?
Christmas Day, 40.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, I'll be 41 next month.
41, I know.
Yeah, 25th, both of us, the 2-5s.
25th.
Yeah, let's go. Man, one of my favorite people, man. I will reiterate this, but you were voted most likely to succeed in middle school. And I was just thrown. I didn't even know that there was a category, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then when you got it, I was like, this is my guy. Why am I mad I didn't get this? I had to stop and think to myself, like, wait a minute. What? I got some work to do. So, yeah, man, you were, like I said, give you your props, bro. You were very successful. As I look up to you, you know what I mean? I do, to be honest with you. I do. And back to Dad, man. So, Dad had... He did not have his dad in his life. You told me that just a minute ago, but what did he have, do you think? How did he become the man he was? Was it brothers, uncles?
Right, so just a little background. My father lost his mother at a very young age.
Sheesh.
And so he and his brother had to go live with their aunt in San Francisco.
Mm.
Okay. And so that's who pretty much raised him. She had a husband, uncle.
Uh-huh.
He passed away before Amy did. But he was pretty much the father figure for him, more or less.
Okay.
You know, uncle got up every day, went to work, provided for the family. Amy took care of the kids and took care of the house. But, you know, uncle was the man. He taught him how to be that man. You know?
Nice. Just this one uncle.
That one uncle was the man that really was the father figure for him. And like I was telling you, you know, my parents had us at relatively young ages, 21 and 19 for my sister and 23 and 21 for me. And so, you know, in some ways we did grow up. They grew up with us, grew up together, and it was some trial and error there. I mean, they had their moments of youthful, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Disagreements.
Disagreements, but just, you know, some stuff that would have been easier if they were a little more mature.
Correct.
You know, but I think just my parents are logical people and very, you know, good people at heart. So they weren't the kind of people to leave us and to let us twist in the wind for our, you know, for food and for warmth and shelter and all that. So they got up and worked every day. And you know, just being a good example was enough, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that's pretty much how it turned out for us. I mean, there were some things that, you know, that probably could have gone a little bit better. But I think overall, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
It was trial and error.
Fair indeed. Are they... How... They're young and they worked every day. Do they have higher education? Because I know you're very educated.
Well, so I think they probably got more degrees later on. But starting off, they actually met in trade school. So my mother, she was born in Oakland. However, you know, she grew up in L.A., in L.A. area with my grandmother. They moved back down here when she was a teenager. And so... She graduated high school early. She went to Crenshaw.
Okay.
And so she was able to go to trade school. And so she went to Arizona, actually. And so that's where they met. They met in Arizona in trade school.
Nice.
And so that's where my sister was born.
Yeah.
And then after they came back here, this is where I was born. So yeah, I mean, they've gotten degrees. My mother and father both worked in technology for a little bit. You know, I'm an engineer, but they were working with you know, circuit boards, and my father built radar for Hughes for, you know,
really
30 years.
Nice. Oh, okay, so you really were led by example.
And then later on, my mother, you know, she transitioned out of technology and went more into project management, She got an MBA, master's degree. Then she ended up getting a doctorate in theology when she became a minister.
With two young children.
Yeah, she did it later on. So, I mean, she got her doctorate later on, but you know, her master's, she got that when we were in our 20s, actually, when she got her MBA.
Oh, okay.
And so my father, he's got a few more degrees. He actually got certified in IT. He's done some other things too, but you know, education has always been a way. I mean, we've always been told that that's the way to, you know, to get out, you know, to be able to further yourself financially, and also, you know, just upwardly, you know, matriculate, you know.
I like that. I like that. Okay. Well, you just inspired me, man, to go back and get my master's now.
And so,
because I do have my my BA and a minor as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you just inspired me. I've been thinking about it for a while, but that definitely just, you know, put me up on game. Like, I can still do this, you know, next level.
And it's really funny. I mean, the woman that I married, you know, she has her doctorate in education, you know.
Mm.
You know, it's just really interesting how.
Doctorate, that's above the master's.
Yeah, she's Dr. Erica.
Sheesh.
Dr. Thomas.
So that's 8 years of school. She ain't playing.
Actually, the program is about 4 or 5.
Woo-wee.
Or actually 3 or 4. But, you know, it's kind of interesting how that kind of was somebody I tried. She didn't have her doctorate when I met her, you know.
Oh.
But she always wanted, and she always had that ambition to go back and get her doctorate, because that's what she wanted to be. She wants to actually teach in higher education.
Wow.
And so...
That's impressive, man. Especially to do it with children, you know?
Yeah.
Because I know she has, you know, twins.
Right. So the twin girls were probably, shoot, they were maybe 8 when she started the program.
Okay.
And so, you know, we hadn't, and that's the thing, we hadn't even gotten married yet. When I met her, she was, you know, teaching, and she was a coordinator at, you know, high school level. But, you know, she wanted to go back and do all those things. And so...
excellence.
She told me about it, and I was like, well, you should do that, you know? I really did want to push her into that to make sure she went ahead and followed that. And so she started the program over at Cal State Long Beach, and, you know, she finished it.
Shout out to Cal State. That's where I got my degree, Cal State Dominguez.
Wow. And around the same time she was finishing is when we got engaged, you know, to get married.
Congratulations. So now, you as a new father as well as a stepdad, I look at some of the men I know and how they became the men that they are. You know what? Let me rewind just a bit. Going back to dad, because I started with his dad first.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to trickle down. What are some of the things, the main principles that he taught you that allowed you to become the man that you are? And then we'll get to the kids and what you want to do for them.
Well, it's I think the first thing you learn is always by example, you know, by just watching what they do. And so it's, you know, every day just get up. You know, every day get up, start your day, and go. You know, be sure you're every day you're working towards that goal, whatever that goal is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's never going to get. I mean, I didn't come from money. I didn't come from a place where we had a lot of resource. You know, in some ways, you could say I'm self-made. You know, everything I've gotten that I've worked for. You know, not that my parents didn't provide a foundation, but it's you know, it's not a
they gave a foundation,
a nepotism thing. It wasn't financial, it wasn't tangible, it was in other things. But, you know, so I didn't have a basis stand on where someone was gonna give me a job or give me you know, give me anything, give me status or anything like that based on just me showing up, you know. So, you know, it's gonna come in small bites and small chunks, you know. So seeing that is it's going to come in small chunks, you got to do something every single day to move that ball, you know. And so that's mainly it. Just keep chomping away at it, and eventually you're going to make it to that goal of wherever you want to be. You know, it's going to come slowly. That's kind of why I never really thought about, you know, slanging or even hustling. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I have friends even in college who tried to hustle. You know. Because they tried to use shortcuts. They saw it as a way of getting fast money. And my thing is, man, I mean, I've never seen anybody get it and maintain it you know, quickly. You know, you can get it, but can you hold on to it is the question. You know, the only people I knew that really held on to it were people that had done it really slowly and got it, and, you know, years later, and here they are, and no one can take it away from them, right?
Yes.
Especially being a black man in America. I mean, that's kind of what it is. You can't profit from pain. That's what it is. And so, you know, that was the first example I can probably say. The next one is probably just be very attentive to the details. I'm a detail-oriented person. My mother kind of instilled it in me to, you know, if you're going to do the job, do it well.
And was that communicated, or was that, I mean, verbally, or was that shown as well?
It was shown. Okay. It was shown. I mean, that's the thing. I was probably the only male in the household growing up with a lot of women. So I, you know, the brunt of that kind of fell on me after my mother and father, you know, kind of split up and everything. But, you know, just being in that household, you know, you have to carry a lot of the lows that, you know, the man would normally do.
Where do you fall in the siblings?
I'm middle, so.
You're in the middle. Oh,
right.
Really?
So actually I have an older sister and a younger sister. Right. Younger, she's kind of half.
Right.
My father's.
Right.
My father had another child after.
Indeed. Interesting. Okay.
So just being that I had to be that, not be that, you know.
Yeah.
In that household. It's a matter of, you know, just be very attentive to things that you're doing, you know, whether it's yard work, whether it's cleaning up your room, whether it's doing your homework, you know. Homework, it actually started, it's funny, I always tell this story to people that see me write. Actually, I don't write in block. I don't write in standard, you know, block letters.
Really?
I actually write handwriting. I write in cursive still to this day.
I do the opposite because my cursive is trash.
So this is the thing. My mother, she made me as a kid sit there and write my cursive letters over and over again. She saw me writing cursive one day. She was like, it's not going to work out. This right here, I just can't read your handwriting. So she made me write my letters every single day for a month. And after that month, my handwriting had improved. Right. So now to this day, I write faster and better in cursive because my mother drilled it into me that, look, I mean, it's handwriting. You know, I had that, you know, well, Mom, it's just handwriting, it's whatever. Yeah. You know, she's like, nah.
Yeah.
You were going to actually write well.
We're going to, it's funny. The podcast is called the Dad Cast, but just switched to the Mom Cast all of a sudden because we got to give shouts out to moms for giving us, you know, our foundation and becoming, helping us become the men that we are.
Right.
And it's funny you say that because I was driving the other day and, man, I had to back down this long street and whip my car into a parking spot because I was just getting frustrated with the way traffic was. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know what? I'm done with this.
Right.
My daughter was like, Dad, you're the best driver ever. But shouts out to Mom because she started teaching me how to drive at 7.
Wow.
She used to let me sit in her lap and steer around the block. Like, just drive. She said, if anything ever happens to me,
you have to be,
you know.
Right.
So she gave me a lot of these skills that I have, you know. Right. Like, she would walk up to a door and say, open the door for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, aggressive, though. Like, open the door. You should always open the door for a lady.
Right.
Yes, Mom. Okay, I got you. But those are things she instilled in me.
Right.
So shout out to moms.
Right. But back to dads.
Because we are the men that we are.
Right.
And we are now raising
young
children.
So dad kept that going.
Fair.
You know, starting off, you know, it did start in the household with the moms. But later on, I went to go move with Pop. So during high school years, I was with him.
Okay.
And so, you know, same thing. It was details, you know.
Yeah.
The same things that were expected of me, you know, when I was with Mom were expected of Dad, but Dad's not going to baby you. He's not going to coddle you, right? He's not going to,
No, he's not. Pacify.
Oh, yeah. Just
what's the other word I'm looking for? Shelter? No.
Right.
Sir.
And so he gave me my independence to work in that front. Okay?
Mm.
Okay. Do you think you've done it well? If you think you've done it well enough, then okay, cool. But I'm going to tell you that you haven't done it well enough, right?
Mm.
And so I think that's kind of where Dad continued it. You know, he gave me my first taste of, you know, true freedom of being a man, mm-hmm. Living in a household with him. You know,
it was just you and him?
Well, it was he and I, yeah, and then okay. my uncle moved into it. He was with us for a little bit, but for the most part, it was just he and I.
So you got some real man running. Right.
So, you know,
he
wasn't going to wash my clothes for me.
Nope.
You know, he wasn't going to, I mean, he made sure I ate, but, you know, it wasn't one of those things where it was like, you know, every 5 minutes I had to go ask him, can I go into the kitchen? It's like, hey, there's food in here. You can go ahead and try and cook this food. You know, if you want to cook, go ahead and cook. And it was that. It was that. And I really did appreciate that, you know, that space. And, you know, I kind of messed it up on my junior year in you know, in high school.
Yeah. Fell on your face. We all did.
I did for a minute.
Welcome,
man. Happy belated birthday, bro.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. You was in Cabo, huh?
Yeah, Cabo. Nice.
Living your best life. All right.
So just having that, you know, just having that ability to, okay, hey man, I leave before you do. However, I expect you to get up and go to school. I expect you to, you know, to make your way and do what you have to do, mm-hmm. you know. And he, you know, he kind of made that, he made it mine, you know. It wasn't his goal, it was my goal at that point, you know. Mm-hmm. I have to do it. I have to maintain it. I have to make sure that, you know, I'm holding my end of the bargain together, you know. Accountability.
Accountability. So, with that said, transitioning to the kids now. Mm-hmm. So, you got some boys. And, man, one day we're not going to be here, right? And that freaks me out. You know what I mean? Like, did I give my child all that she needs to navigate this world?
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
As well as the interaction with them, mm-hmm. Because my child is much like myself. Like, she's so fun loving, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Really silly, mm-hmm. you know. But I still need to instill some real principles. You right. know what I mean? Right. So, what are your main principles? Are they different from your dad's, or what is your mindset when it comes to instilling the principles that's required?
Well, my boys are still young, yeah. And it's going to be a different world by the time they get to my age, you know, or even half my age.
Even half your age.
Even half my age.
Even close to half.
So with the way the world is now, I just need them to understand that anything you do, anything you say is going to be held against you. You know what I'm Woo. Saying? Somebody is recording, somebody is watching.
In a court of law and a public opinion.
So accountability for all your actions is a must. You know, that's rule number one. I mean, anything you do, anything you say, be sure it is the way you want to be depicted.
Calculative.
Right? Be yeah. sure that is it. Because, you know, you don't have time to be refuting what somebody already thinks of you, right? Whenever people have made their own decision and their own, you know, they've come up within their mind of who you are, it sticks with them, you know? So now you gotta now undo that before you can even make forward progress on anything that you want to say, anything you want to do, right?
How do you know, do that?
Be measured. Be measured and try and see at least a couple of steps or a couple of angles on what is happening. Don't just look at it as in face value. Quarterback the situation for yourself. Think for yourself. That's mainly it. Think for yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't let anybody tell you how you should be feeling, how you should be thinking. If you feel like it's wrong, if you feel like something is not the way it needs to be, then you need to take steps to correct it yourself. Be proactive. That was the first, I mean, that's kind of where I am with the girls. I mean, the girls are 16 years old now. So they're still thinking like children in some ways.
Oh yeah.
They don't really see how, you know, how things are adding up. You need to be a little more involved in the world, you know, and things happening around you. You can't just be a passenger on that train.
Ooh-wee.
Right? You gotta kind of steer the boats in some ways. You got if you want things to happen for you, then you're gonna have to make them happen. You know, and so the boys, you know, the world's different. I mean, you know, with the Me Too and all that. I mean, women are different. Relationships are different. All of that. You know,
all of that.
And so I would just tell them. I mean, from my playbook, I waited.
I mean, I'm not saying they have to wait till they're 37 and 39 to have children. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. But I would say to wait until you are sure that it is something that you want, you know. And that's with everything in life, you know. I mean, if it's something that you don't want, then don't let somebody push you into it, right?
Yes.
That's kind of it. Whether it's a relationship, a job, a whatever that is.
Yeah. Man, this is why I love talking to you. Sir, is there anything you want to add? Or you've been on here a couple of times now, so you've given me, you know, a bunch of gems.
Yeah, I'm just listening.
All right, well.
You know, Mark, we've had conversations about, I think there was one brother in here one time. We were talking about, you know, being a victim, right?
Yes.
Like, you feel like the world is, or you feel like circumstances are out of your control, right?
Yes.
And you were saying that I'm a person that kind of measures my life, and I kind of will things to happen the way I want them to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is true, but then some of it is I just refuse to let circumstance, you know, be that thing that has not allowed me to succeed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you only have, you know, there's only one thing in this world, basically, and there's opportunity, right? There's either not opportunity to rise to the occasion, or there's an opportunity to fail. I mean, really, you know. Mm-hmm. So you have to choose which one you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think everything can be used as a tool. You know, everything.
Everything.
I mean, I think some people get caught up in the whys. Why is this happening? I'm interested in the what's happening, right? What's happening? What is the catalyst for this?
What is going to be the
outcome of all this? And do I want this outcome to happen? And if I don't want the outcome to happen, how can I mitigate the outcome, right?
Hmm.
And that's pretty much it. And that's just, you know, the logical person in me, the engineer in me says that.
Mm-hmm.
We solve problems all day, is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would rather sit down and assign blame, right? They'd rather come to the table and say, well, who messed up?
That's me.
Who's that guy?
I got to get better at that.
Who's that guy? Let's get rid of him, because
that's what
so now it's never going to happen again if we get rid of that guy.
Think about that.
So if we get rid of that guy, it's never going to happen again, right? And that's not true, because it may not have been that person's fault. That person may have walked into a pitfall or walked into a sinkhole that was already there, right? They just found a sinkhole, but they were the person who's now, you know, the face of that problem, but they're not the problem, right?
Yeah.
So the what happened and how can we mitigate that is more important to me, right? So everybody learns, teaching moment, right?
I'm glad you
now did. We can't walk into it again now. If so-and-so walks directly into that same thing again, now we gotta say, well, look, so-and-so, I mean.
That's your decision.
Right. You saw it was there, everybody knew it was there, we all talked about it, you walked right back into it, now you're a liability at that point, right? But in life, you have to do the same thing. I mean, you can't. I mean, there's some situations that are just going to be devastating. They're going to be, you know, a huge setback, and you want to assign blame. You know, you don't want to think that, you know, this is just the thing that happens, but it does. I mean,
it's funny you say that, because my mindset, and when I just said what I said, you know, I'm the opposite end of the spectrum that you come from, the mindset. I never forget being in high school, and one of my math teachers said, some people say that you don't use math in life. And she was like, that's just not true.
Right.
She said, you use math all day, every day, because you have to be calculative.
Right.
So my mindset was, and we were in algebra class, and I'm like, I need to solve for the unknown. And I need to eliminate certain things. So me, I cut people off like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I fire clients and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yep, you gotta go. Yep, you gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just easier for me to deal with, you know,
right,
things that way, because I am a bit emotional. Well, you know what? I'm very emotional. Let me say that way too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're more logical.
Got
being raised by mom only, and women, grandmothers, on both sides. Like, mm-hmm. I was only raised by women. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of emotions going
right.
on
emotion
in the
first,
house.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So now learning myself and growing and maturing, I had to find the logic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm still trying to fight those, you know, those forces sometimes. You know what I mean? Trying to make sense of things and, like, try to just get things right. But mm-hmm. I still, like,
Hey. I mean, your first response sometimes is your best, because you get it out. And that's the thing, you get that out first.
Yeah, I get it out first.
But don't let it become the stopping point. Don't let that be the end of it.
Oh, no.
Okay,
no.
Now we got to solve the problem. Now we got to figure out what we're doing.
I'm much better as an adult with it.
Right.
But as
right.
a young man,
right.
you know what I mean? It was like, you know, lash out or, you right. know, retaliate.
You know, scorch the earth and just let everybody, right? Ain't nothing going to grow here ever again, right?
Run everybody off.
Right, that's it. Y'all out. Y'all all fired. All of y'all.
All y'all. And I had no problem doing it. Oh, right. Man, I walked off a job one time, wow. man, in the middle of my shift.
Wow.
I was 17? Wow. 16. No, I was 16. Man, and this dude, the manager, man, he did some nonsense. I ain't gonna lie. Uh-huh. He was, it was a racist situation.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say, you know, exactly what went down, but mm-hmm. he clearly was not treating me mm-hmm. the same as this other employee. Mm-hmm. Trying to demand something of me when he wasn't trying to demand that of this other employee.
Right.
I walked off the job, man. Mm-hmm. I was like, threw my name tag on the floor. Mm-hmm. Was like, man, you got me messed up, bro. Mm-hmm. My mom went off when I got home.
Right.
It didn't take me nothing to get another job, but right. still, like yeah. that was really emotional and foolish in the
yeah,
moment.
You can't. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can't,
react
like
that.
That
yeah. check.
You can't
you know
react
mean?
Like that, right?
You know, but that's 16 years old.
But that's
know?
But that's learning. That's a learning moment for you. You
yeah.
learn something from
well,
it.
Oh,
right?
I learned.
And you still remember that
job.
Now at 40, almost 41,
sweet.
Right?
I will never forget that day, a day
right.
of my life.
Right.
And the next job I held, not only did I hold down, I became a manager at right. the next job.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, I did learn, but I shot myself in the foot that day.
So, yeah, you want your sons to learn that early, right?
And my mama cussed me out.
So with boys, you definitely want them to learn that early. With yeah. the girls, and I've told them this, like, women are quote unquote, I guess supposed to be emotional in some ways. You
right.
know, people look for it, right? They look for women to be emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you are emotional, there are some people out there who will intentionally push that button mm-hmm. every time they need right. some entertainment from you, right?
I was talking to somebody about that yesterday
right?
on the podcast, and he said the same thing.
So you need...
Like, as soon as I see it, I'm going at it.
Right. So you need to be able to hold that in, right? You need to be able to not disguise it, but you have to be measured in what you give people. Because, you know, as a woman, you can't let people push your buttons, right? You have that mechanism already. You
can,
feel.
You shouldn't.
You feel.
Right.
I mean, you feel. But you have to be able to hold it in. Or you have to be able to give calculated responses in that emotional state.
Correct.
You know? And so they are, you know, they're girls. So they immediately go to the, why are you saying what you're saying? You know, I need you to understand. Like, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the situation,
correct.
And I need you. I'm telling you this because I need you to correct the situation.
Correct.
I need you to, okay, get over with how you're feeling right now and listen to what I'm saying, because there is going to be a direction in all of this, right? So on a job, you're going to have a manager who may not speak to you as nicely as I'm saying it right now, right? Depending on where you work. I work for a public agency, so we have civil service protections and we have other things. But if you work for a private company where, you know, the owner of the company is speaking to you directly and you're working at will, your contract is only as good as how much he likes you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, your response in that moment can mean the difference between you working and you not working for that company. If you still want to work for that company, right?
Right.
You know, the alternative mm-hmm. is to own your own thing, but still, I mean, that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand the situation and circumstances and think about what's happening first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're 16. So they're getting to that age where they can kind of start coming up with those thoughts, you know, with how they respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting question. So, what I'm hearing you say, especially with your daughters, is to react and to think like you, logically first, right? Instead of emotionally.
Well, no, right? Don't think like me. React.
Well, react.
Your reaction should be very. To be measured,
calculated.
Now you can feel it any way you want to feel.
Yeah.
But what you say in these next moments and your feeling is going
to
dictate
you're expressing
what happens
outward. What you're right. expressing to those. Now, interesting, because I'm listening to this, and earlier you talked about like Me Too, and it seems to be a cultural shift in men and women and how they respond and react to, you know, like for example, you know, we were talking about this the other day. Men generationally have been told, be tough, be strong,
right.
don't show emotion, don't cry, don't do anything like that, right? Whereas women have always been taught to express their feelings and to, you know, it's okay to be emotional and because you're a woman, that's what it is, right? But it seems though that now that women are becoming what men once were. Well, and that's emotion and in the outward, emotionless,
cold, calculated.
Very cold, very calculated.
Right. I see that and it's scary.
Partly because they've figured that that's the only way that they're able to compete maybe in this world, but you know, I just thought it interesting that, you know, things are beginning, you know, there's a shift in a cultural shift.
Yeah.
I want to add to that. I pray for the future. So what's happening is people are learning how to, that's a survival tactic. A lot of women have gone through things that have scorned them and really burned them to where they're damaged goods, low key. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So now they're raising their children to
do the opposite.
So what we need to do is, as a community, is find balance. We as men need to teach our children how to use their emotions, however, not be too emotional,
but here's the thing.
Vice versa. You know what I mean? The young ladies need to say, like you said, you can feel how you want to feel. However, hey, think about this before you respond.
But watch this though. Women have always been very calculated.
Mm-hmm. Always.
They're always.
They're
very, very calculated.
Mm-hmm.
The plan that they put in place comes after the emotional outbreak.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Yes, I do.
You feel what I'm saying? Right. So it comes after the emotional outbreak. So like if you cheated on your girl and then she finds out, well, now she sits back and she devises a plan to fuck your life up. You understand what I'm saying?
It's not before.
But now because the
hell hath no
the
fury.
The emotion is beginning to kind of, as the generations progress, now the emotions are being taken out, and so now it becomes that much more kind of scary in a way.
Yeah.
Well, I would tell them that. To your point, the world is changing, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just dealing with the world as it is now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hopefully, there will be a time where women will be in positions of power, more positions of power, where they can change those policies to make it okay.
Because they can then, at that point, be able to show that they can be powerful
and have emotion. Right.
But the natural thought though is that a woman makes her decision out of, based on emotion.
Well, that's the thing. She should make her decision based on emotion. But I don't want them to be put in a position where anything they've said is now the basis for anything anybody's going to do to them going forward.
Yeah.
So let's say, for instance, you do react emotionally first, and your first reaction is "fuck you."
Yeah.
Right. You've already said that now. Yeah. So anything you say after that.
Yeah.
Right. Is a moot point. Now you have left. You've left yourself no room to calculate at that point, because now a person can say, "Look, I'm just deflecting everything you're saying now because you've already told me
how you feel.
How you feel, right?"
Yeah.
So feel the way you feel, right?
Yeah.
But the calculating part comes in now. What am I going to do? Am I going to blow up the spot now? Or am I going to wait and devise a plan to dissect this fish and gut the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And take it all apart, right? So that's what you need to kind of hold on to. Hold that first, right? Boys, you know, don't be the button pushers. I mean, that's one thing you don't want. You don't want to make them. Yes. You don't want to make them cold. Right? Yeah. You don't want to make them colder than society wants them to already be.
Right.
You don't want to make girls.
That's where I'm at.
You don't want to make girls the same way either. However, I don't want them to show it on their face. My wife, Erica, man, wears her emotions on her face. Mm-hmm. Right.
So do I. I cannot hide my immediate reaction.
Now she's the boss. She's the boss of her, you know, of her site, of her school site. So it's not that anybody can hold it against her, but under different circumstances, that could be the thing that you know makes people react to her in a different kind of way. You know, so when you have a leg to stand on, it's a different proposition, right?
Yeah.
But when you're just coming up, it's kind of like, well, you have to understand your dynamic, where you are, and how you should play your position.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me, this conversation reminds me of this Indeed commercial. I don't know if you've seen it, where they have this big group, it's all in this conference room, and have the lady, and they say, this isn't the first time that such and such has been passed up. Promotion.
Right.
I haven't
seen this.
Right.
So
they're actually doing the
announcement of who,
right? And she's like looking around, and the guy behind her walks up, and he gets promotion. Right.
And then right after, she has a interview request at a different, you know, they say, but this won't be the last, or something like that. You know, but she's...
Well, this will be the last.
This will be the last.
And so then she starts clapping. Right, she claps like, it's okay, it's cool for him. All right, good for you. Right, you know, get mine. Right.
But just looking at how that transpired, you know, like she would, you could see in her face she was disappointed, but she had already devised, she had a plan B.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Right. So it wasn't like, you know...
She's put feelings out there already. She had been putting feelings, her resume has been circulating.
So now you've more, now there's a calculated part, right? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And she could have, and that's the thing, if she hadn't got that, let's play it out a different way. Let's take that commercial and dissect it. Let's say, for instance, that email doesn't come through in that moment.
I was just thinking that.
Right? And so she has to sit here and watch my man get his promotion, right? Mm-hmm. Now you know, she's gotta congratulate him, she's gotta, you know, work the room, and she's gotta, right, she's gotta make it seem like she's okay in that moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does that play out?
Yeah.
Does she say something to a partner, or does she say something to a higher up that says, well, you know, I've been passed over on this, and this is a bullshit, right?
Or does she cuss everybody out?
Right.
Hey, y'all should have hired me.
So that's right. So that was fortuitous that she got that email in that situation, to where she doesn't have to even worry about it. I'm bouncing anyway, so I can congratulate him right now, right?
Yeah. But those are those variables and those factors that allow that. And let me say this. I was 32. I'm in the gym one day, working out, and this is, you know, the blessing, you know, that I understand now that I'm getting older, you know, how important men are in men's lives. Mm-hmm. I'm 32, and
hello,
I'm 32 years old, and I'm in the gym, and this man said, he said it's 5% about what happens to you, and it's 95% of how you react to it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, man, say that again. Yeah. That's it, man. I wish I'd have known that 20 some odd years ago. Because I've been living my life the opposite way around. Yeah. I'm thinking, he said it's 5% of how you make it and it's 95% of how you take it. That's what he said.
Okay.
And I was like, damn, I've been trying to make it 95%. Right.
But that's the same.
And then take it 5%.
That's the same.
Yeah, the same principle you just explained.
Principle. Well, no, same one. What you just said. You just said it two different ways, though.
It's pretty much
the same philosophy.
Yeah. That tripped me out.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, I wish I'd have known that 20 some odd years ago.
How you react?
Where you at?
How are you going to react to this?
Right. Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people that lay down after that first hit. They just stop fighting, right?
Yeah, we're going to name this episode Reaction. You know, name this Reaction. Man, that's important, man. So,
but the boys, yeah, I definitely want them to, you know, to be good people first, you know. I mean,
absolutely.
I hope that they are watching me. Like, you know, when we started the conversation, it was more, you know, what was the first thing that you learned, or what was the first way you learned from your father? I mean, it's always by what you see, mm-hmm. you know, what you see that person mm-hmm. do every day. You know, I wear suits to work every single day. Mm-hmm. People ask me, well, why do you dress up? It's not dressing up. It's dressing nice. When I leave the house, in the morning, my son see me every morning, right? Mm-hmm. And so they know that dad gets up,
clean,
he goes to work, he's an engineer, and he wears a suit. Sometimes he wears a tie, sometimes he wears a shirt, but he looks nice every time he leaves the home, right?
You got that fly scarf on.
I gotta learn how to tie that scarf. A little bit of that too. Every now and again,
gotta learn how to whip that scarf around, you know, man. I'm gonna be killing it with the scarf.
His shoes are clean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He always has a haircut. I mean, and that's not the way. I'm not saying that people that don't do all that aren't setting a good example. However, that's the example that I want my sons to see from me, right?
Amen.
You know, that's my way of showing that I care about my parents and I care about the job that I'm doing. You know, I don't have to. I don't have to get up and do all that.
Right.
I can go to work, not anywhere I want to. However, I can choose to.
Business casual.
Right.
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 But you're going.
Right, we gonna wear the full suit because
you're James Bond with it. Brother.
I'm gonna be a boss. Yeah. I'm having a boss now, but
hey, yeah, don't dress for the job that you don't. What they say? Don't dress for the job that you have.
Dress for the job that you want.
Yeah. You're right about that. I'm gonna step my game back up.
Right. Man, I gotta step my game up in 2022.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you, Pinterest. Pinterest helped me out last year a lot, man. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. Yeah. That's where he stepped his game up, man. He started, you know. It's like a vision board, you know what I'm saying? You see these images of these men, you know, dressed so well, and you're like, I can emulate that. That's, you know, it's stylish.
And I always tell my wife this. I mean, she's never worn a men's suit, a tailored men's suit, but to wear a suit every single day, it takes a level of, you know, you have to be very
committed.
All of the above. But you have to have a level of structure. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're not running around. It's not a suit where you can run around. You're not going to sit down. You're not going to lay down in this suit. You're going to be sitting in a very, you know, in a very specific manner.
And so it makes you carry yourself differently. Right. The way that you walk. The way that you, your posture in the chair,
right?
You know what I mean. Like even the things you eat for lunch, because you think about, damn, I don't want to get nothing on my suit.
I mean, there's a discipline. There's a discipline to wearing a suit.
It is.
There's a discipline to wearing a suit. I mean,
damn, I gotta go get me two suits today, man. I'm gonna go get me two suits.
Go ahead and do it, man.
That's it.
Go ahead and do it.
I gotta do that. You know, my boss was telling me the other day, right before we went off on a break, he said, you know, I'm searching for a leader in this department. He said what you need to do is you need to find everyone's weakness. My boss said that.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, find their weakness.
Mm-hmm.
He said, just like when you coach the game,
mm-hmm.
you're not trying to exploit anybody or make anybody look bad. You're just trying to find, you know, an opportunity. to get a bucket,
right?
To get a stop,
right?
You know, and that, you know, and it's interesting. He's, you know, he's like, man, you know, like I got here by finding weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Did he say what to do with them specifically, or just says just know them?
Know them. Mm-hmm. Know them. And so when you know them, when an opportunity comes to, like I said, not exploit in a way to make someone look bad, mm-hmm. but to provide yourself an opportunity to take it, to step up.
So you plug, you fill that void.
Yeah.
You feel the void. Yeah. You find out what's lacking, and then you become that.
It may be a weakness may be that the person, that your coworker, is lazy. Mm-hmm. And that you just make yourself available to step in and do,
be available. Right.
That's not a weakness, that's a skill. That's not a weakness to exploit.
No. Mm-hmm.
That's just, you know, they say in sports, the best ability is availability.
Right. The guy that plays every single day. Every game is there.
The guy that's there every single game.
Right.
I like that.
The best ability is available.
Right. That was my mindset when I coached. Like, I need you.
Mm-hmm. You know,
if you 10-10, give me that 10-10. Don't give me 20-20 and then 4-4. Mm-hmm. You know,
or
the inconsistency, or just, you know,
or don't be sitting in the training room, mm-hmm. or you jammed your finger and you can't play in practice.
Right.
Practice.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm saying the best players, you know, are no good to you. If they're not available, a DNP for a star is just as good as nothing.
Yeah. And the same can be said at work.
Right.
The same can be said in every facet of life, relationships and all. Now that we're talking about it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in all facets, fatherhood.
Back to the
full circle. You know, be available to your kids. Right?
Be available to your wife. Be available to
your community.
Available to your children, man. That's important.
Shocking. Oh, I'm going to go home. My wife will be like, you took the beard off.
Yeah, man.
I warned her.
That's an example.
Another good, wonderful conversation with these wonderful gentlemen. Thank you both for your time.
Respect. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy holidays. Happy
whatever holiday you celebrate.
Everything, man. Happy Hanukkah. All that, man. Man, I send you all peace and blessings. I think I might have to post this one today since I said all that. I usually post them a little bit ahead of time. Right. You know what I mean? I'll wait because I got a few of them in order already. So this one wasn't going to come up to the end of January. But now that I said all that, it's going to be a little late. So, hey, y'all hit me up. The Mark of Genius, that's MARC on Instagram, as well as themarkofgenius@gmail.com. Comments, questions, whatever you need to say, holler at your boy. Be blessed. Be great. Peace.